Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Achrimos. The title of the shir tonight is The Meaning of Azazel. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the parsha, where it talks about the Avodas Yom Kippur, the Avoda done on Yom Kippur. And there's a reference to this phrase of Azazel, and we're going to look in the Torah and understand what it means and what the philosophy of the idea of sending the Seir HaMishtaleach, the goat, to Azazel, what's the philosophy behind that mitzvah, which we perform on Yom Kippur. So that's really the focus of the shir tonight. So we'll look through the psukim. In source number one, it's Vayikra Perek Tes Zayin, and the psukim explain the process of the korbanos over here, and it says, V'lakach eshnei asirim, ve'emid osam lefnei Hashem Pesach ol moheid. So there were these two goats, male goats, and they were placed before Hashem in front of the Ol Moed. V'nasan Aaron Ashni Asirim Goralos, Goral Echad LaHashem, V'Goral Echad LaAzazel. And what happened was that Aaron took out these two lots, and on the lots there were LaHashem and LaAzazel, and whichever animal got LaHashem was a Korban LaHashem, and the other one was LaAzazel. So of course in Pasuk Ches, in source number one, the main question is, what does it mean, La'azazel? There's not a clear understanding of it, and the Mefarshim have different explanations of what it means and what the concept is. So what is Azazel? What does that mean in Ches? And it continues. It says, V'ikriv Aaron es ha'sa'ir, asher Allah alav hagara la'Hashem v'asau chatos. So the se'ir, the he-goat, the male goat, which had the lot of la'Hashem, was given as a korban to Hashem, as a chatas. V'hasa'ir asher Allah alav hagara la'Azazel, ya'amud chay lefnei Hashem l'chaper alav l'shalachu so la'Azazel hamidbara. And in Pasuk Yud it says that the Seir, the goat that was designated for Azazel, should be alive, and it's there to bring kapara, to bring atonement, in order to send it to Azazel in the desert. So again, the question is, the word Azazel is used many times, and it's somehow part of the process of the korban of the Seir, that one Seir was for Hashem and the other one was Azazel. So what's the meaning of it? What's the meaning of the word, just factually? And what's the philosophy behind this korban, where they would send the animal out to the desert? And if you look in Chaf Aleph, the Torah continues later on in the same parak. It's Parak Tazayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and it says, "V'samach Aaron Ashtei Adav Al Rosh Hasair Hachai V'Hisvadalav Es Kol Avonos Bnei Yisrael V'Es Kol Pishayam L'Chol Chatosam V'Nasanosam Al Rosh Hasair V'Shilach B'Yad Ish Itiyam Edbara." So that Seir, that goat on Yom Kippur that was meant to be sent away into the Midbar, was the goat in which Aaron placed his hands on, and he did vidui, he confessed the sins of Klal Yisrael, and it was then sent with somebody into the Midbar. So what happened was, this goat was sent with all the avonos, it took all the avonos, the flaws of Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Gzeirah, and the Seir was sent to the Midbar. And what ends up happening, the Torah doesn't describe it fully, but the Seir is thrown off a cliff and it's killed. So of course, again, the question, just to refocus and reestablish the questions in this week's parsha, the questions are, what's the idea of La'azazel? The Torah mentions it many times. What does that mean? And second of all, what's the philosophy of this korban, that there was two korbanos? One was for Hashem, and the other one was sent out into the Midbar, and it was taken to this area, and it was thrown off a cliff. So what's the value of that? How do we don't usually see korbanos like that they're outside the mikdash and they're being destroyed in that way. So what's the purpose of that type of korban in the framework of Yom Kippur? So that's really the broader question. So we're going to answer all those questions, but we're going to look at three of the approaches. One is through Rashi and the Medrash and the Gemara, and then finally there's a seemingly crazy Ramban that we're going to have to explain as well, that explains the philosophy of this Seir La'azazel. So first, Rashi. So Rashi says in source number two, it says on Pasuk Ches, V'nasan Aaron al shnei hasirim goralos. So Aaron, he put his hand into this urn. It says, Mamid echal yamin ve'echal ismo. So the process was that there was one animal to his right and one goat to his left. V'nosin shtei yadav bekalpi. So Aaron would take his two hands, his right hand and his left hand, and put it into the bowl with all the lots. Vindotel Goral Biamin Vichavero Bismol. And he would take Goral with his right hand, one of the lots with his right hand, and the other one with his left hand, Vindosin Alehem, and he would place them upon the animals. Eishakasiv Bo Lashem Hu Lashem. So the one that was for Hashem, for the Shem Hashem was for Hashem. Ve'esha kasev bo la'azazel mishtaleach la'azazel. The one that it said la'azazel was sent out to Azazel. So what is Azazel? Look at Rashi. He says, Hu har oz v'kasha. So this goat was sent out to a land or an area where there was a mountain that was very strong and hard. It was a very rocky mountain. Tzok gavoa, which had a very high cliff. Shenemar eretz gzeira chatucha. So as it says in the psukim later, eretz gzeira, what's the meaning of gzeira? It means chatucha. It means that it was cut off. It was like a cliff that had a complete 90-degree vertical, and they would throw the animal, the goat, off of this cliff. So it's a strange point that Rashi's making, but Rashi's based on the Gemara, we'll see. But Rashi says that the idea of Azazel, or the meaning of the word Azazel, is Ahar Az, which means strong, Vikasha, and it says Tzokavosh, Nemar Eretz Gzeira Chatucha. So the meaning of Azazel is an idea of hardness, of toughness. So you would bring this goat to an area that was tough, to a mountain that was very high and had a very tough vertical, and you would throw it off the cliff. So again, the question, of course, according to Rashi, who explains Azazel in this way, the question is, what's the value? Who cares what type of area you brought the goat to? Why did it have to be very strong, very kasha? Why did it have to be an area that had a very high cliff? So it just seems irrelevant. You should be able to bring the goat to an area and just kill it. Bring it to an area which is a low hill and kill it. Like, why did it have to be, why does the Torah specify through Azazel that the nature of this mountain was that it was very high and it was very rocky? So that's a question according to Rashi. And again, we see in the Chizkuni, in source number 3, it says, El Eretz Gzeira Mishuno Mistam Sha'ar Ratzos Dugma Ki Nigzar Me'eret HaChayim Makom Mufrash U'Muvdal Me'adam Shem Yisa Usol Eretz HaRu'uya Lezer Shuv Lo Satzmiach. So he says that Eretz Gzeira means a desolate area. So he doesn't say Chatucha, it doesn't mean cut off like a cliff, but it means very desolate, as if it was cut off from society. So he says that it was an area that this Seir, that this goat, on Yom Kippur, had to be taken to a very high mountain, according to Rashi, and according to the Chizkuni, also to an area that was desolate. So again, what's the relevance, the value, in aside from understanding the basic philosophy of this type of Seir, what was the relevance of where you took it? Why does it matter that it had to be taken out to the Midbar, to a desolate area, and to an area that had a high cliff? How is that explained as part of the philosophy of this mitzvah? So those are the questions. So again, the questions are, what's the philosophy of the Seir Mishtalech La'Azazel, and what's the value, what's the importance of the fact that it was a desolate area according to the Chizkuni, or according to Rashi, he explains that it was a very hard area, like a very high cliff. So why do we care? Why do we care what the nature of the land or the area that you took the goat to? How is that valuable, the knowledge valuable? Okay? So those are the questions. So let's just look at the Gemara, and then we'll get to the first idea in the Shir, and then there's like a strange medrash as well in the Gemara. So if you look in source number 4, it's Maseches Yuma, Daf Samech Zayin Amud Beis, and it says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan. So rabbis taught, Azazel Shihei Oz V'Kasha. So like Rashi, so what does Azazel mean? It means it was very hard, strong, and hard. Oz means strong, and Kasha means hard. Yachol B'Yishov. So you might think that you could take this goat to an inhabited area. Tamalomar Bamidbar. So no, you have to take it out to the Midbar. You have to take it to an area, the desert area. It had to be far away from humanity. So again, why did it have to be far away from humanity? Uminayin Shibitzok. How do you know that you took it to a very high cliff? Tamalomar Gzeira. So it says Gzeira. Gzeira means that you took it to a very high cliff. So the Gemara is very much in line with Rashi. Tanya Idach, there's another brisa that says Azazel Kasha Shibaharim. It was the hardest of the mountains. V'chein hu omer ves Eile ha'aretz lakach. And the term hard or mighty is referenced in Eile. So that's why it's Azazel. Az meaning tough, and Azazel Zel Eile is the idea of mighty. So again, it's the same point as Rashi. And if you look in source number 5 in Rashi on the Gemara, it says Shie Az V'Kasha. He says kale lashon kasha. So the term ale is lashon kasha. Uminayin shebitzok har zakov. How do you know that it had to be a very upright har? Gzeira chatucha means that it had to be cut off. So we see from the Gemara that Rashi is pretty much quoting the Gemara again. This seir was taken out into this area that was in the midbar, and it was a very high cliff, and it was thrown off the cliff. So why is it relevant? What type of cliff the seir was taken to, and what's the philosophy? So now we have this strange medrash, which will also be explained. So Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Azazel, so what is Azazel? Shemechaper al Maisa Uzav Azael. So what does the term Azazel mean? It means that the Azazel, this goat, is mechaper, it atones for the acts of Uzzah and Azazel, and Azael, sorry, Uzzah and Azael. So who are Uzzah and Azael? So if you look again in source number 5, in Rashi, it says, Uzzah v'Azael, malachei chabala, shiyardu la'aret, bimei nama achos tu valkayin, v'aleim nemar v'yiru b'nei ha'olohim es b'nosa adam, chomar al harayos mechaper. So the second explanation of Azazel is that it's not referring to the type of land, the type of mountain that you would throw this goat off of as part of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, but rather it's referring to the acts of Malachi Chabala. These destructive angels came down in the time of Noach, and when it says that the Bnei HaElohim, the sons of gods, of nobles, were sleeping with the Benos Adam, it's referring to the angels. And that's why the Azazel is a reference to being Mechaper for Arayos, for lust, for those types of Averos. So there's a reference in Azazel to the Maisa, to the act of two of these destructive angels that in the time of Noach, before the Savior, the salvation of Noach, so they came down to this world and they somehow cohabited with the humans. So of course that has to be explained. What does the Azazel have to do with that? And we don't believe that the angels have physicality. So what's the relevance of that Medrash in terms of Yom Kippur? And how does it make sense? How does the Medrash make sense? Okay, so those are all the questions. Questions are, if you learn Azazel is the type of land that you threw the goat off of, what's the relevance? Who cares how hard it was or, you know, where it was? Was it desolate or inhabited? And the second question is, what's this Medrash that in the time Azazel is a reference to these two malachim, these two angels who were sleeping? It sounds like from the psukim they were sleeping with human beings. And the Azazel, the Seir Azazel is mechaper, it atones for that chait, for Arayos. So how does that make sense? We don't believe that angels can sleep with human beings. So what's the relevance? How do we understand that Medrash? So those are all the questions, okay? So the first idea that we're going to take up in this year is on the relevance, the emphasis on the type of land that the Seir was taken to. So there's a Medrash that gives a little bit of depth and analysis to that concept in Rashi. So if you look in source number 6, I think there's a little bit of static on the phone line. So if you could put on your mute buttons, I don't know if somebody doesn't have their mute button on, but try to put on your mute button because the static will go away. All right. So if you look in source number 6, the Medrash says like this: V'nasan Aaron al shnei asirim goralos, v'lama osa kain. So now the Medrash goes into the philosophy. So why did he do this? Umolech oso hasair la azazel. And why did they take this seir, this goat, to Azazel? Umevio lahar gadol v'kasha, and they would bring it to this very high and hard mountain, v'dochvo, and they would throw it off, achiechate chatichos chatichos. They would throw off this animal, this goat, and it would break up into small pieces. So why did they do this? Elamedcha she'anu mevakshem mehabore shekmo ze hasar shehu nose avonos Yisrael lov. So we're being mevakesh, we're actually requesting from Hashem that just like this goat travels with all the avonos of Klal Yisrael, ukmosh nofel hasair chatichos chatichos, and just like the seir falls down from this cliff, this very high cliff, and it ends up breaking up into pieces, v'lo yishar bo lo mamashes v'lo toeles, there's nothing left of it. Kain ata melech malchei amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu tapil l'chata esenu v'yovdu misifrecha. So too, we request that Hashem destroy our sins, or at least not view our sins, not look at our sins, and make them or remove them from His sefer. V'lo yeh lahem tekuma, and they shouldn't have any relevance, any significance. So the first answer as to why do we bring the goat to a very high, hard mountain is that we want the goat to be destroyed, disintegrated into pieces. And the reason is because the Medrash is saying that we're requesting from Hashem that just like this goat is destroyed and broken into pieces, so too we're requesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not remember or destroy our chatayim, and there's no reference to the chatayim at all. And the other explanation, v'yesh mefarshim omer sheyisrael azvu yetzer hara. The other explanation is that Aaron does vidui, he confesses on this seir, on this goat, and Klal Yisrael, through this process, they're removing themselves from their yetzer hara, from their evil inclination. Vishlicho so me'alehem, and they're throwing it from upon them, k'seir hazeh ha-mishtaleach, like this seir that's mishtaleach, v'alzeh ne'mar v'nasa ha-seir alav, es kol avonosam el eretz gzeira. And that's the reference to the idea that this goat, this seir mishtaleach, was traveling with all the sins of Klal Yisrael. So, of course, the question on this Medrash, the Medrash gives us philosophy, but the philosophy doesn't really, it's not really so clear. because we don't believe that you can transfer sins into an animal. There's no idea. We don't believe in Judaism that you can take your sin and place it in a physical entity and place it in an animal. So what's the philosophy? What are we doing when we throw this animal off with our sins? It doesn't really contain our sins at all. So what are we actually doing? And again, the question is, why did this have to be far away from humanity? Why was it an area that was far away? It seems like nobody actually witnessed this occur. Only the Ishiti, only the individual who brought it out to this area was the one who saw this happen. So why is it important and relevant to Klal Yisrael if they couldn't see it? But again, what's the basic philosophy here? So I think there's two ideas that the Medrash is really hinting at through this, through the two answers that it gives, and it'll give some idea analysis into why it was, why the nature of the place is important. So the first idea, I think, of the idea of the Sir Meshalech, is that the Medrash is saying they would throw the goat off and it had to be broken up and disintegrated into little small pieces. So what's the idea of the little small pieces? So it seems like the concept that the Medrash is saying has some depth to it. And it's saying that really, it's not that our sins are actually contained in the Seir, because that's impossible. You can't take, let's say you have a flaw that you steal, that you're a ganav. You can't take that flaw and put it in an animal. We don't believe in that. But what the idea is that we're trying to fathom a concept about Hashem. There's a concept of kapara. And the concept of kapara is that Hashem will reestablish our relationship, and our desire is that Hashem remove himself from our sins, or at least forget our sins. But that's an impossibility in the human mind, because we know that God doesn't have a memory like we have a memory, and there's no idea of forgetfulness on the part of God. There's no concept like that. But on the other hand, we know that kapara exists. We know that there's an idea of kapara. We just don't know how it works. How is it possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who knows all, and he's omniscient, and he knows everything, how is it possible that he could actually forget our sins? Or how could he actually destroy our sins? It's an impossibility. So the idea is that the Seir Meshaleach, the purpose of it, is that it's the concept of our tefillah, that really we understand, like the Medrash says, we understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that kapara exists. And we understand that there's some method of kapara, we just don't understand how it works. So I think that's why it's in an area that's far away from man, that nobody witnessed it. Because the idea is that we can request kapara, but we have to acknowledge the fact that we don't understand how it works, and we can't fathom the concept that Hashem could forget our sins. It's like an impossibility that our sins could be nothing in the eyes of God, because Hashem knows all. He doesn't forget. He's not like a human being, where a human being will have forgetful spells. He'll get Alzheimer's, and he'll get dementia. A human being can forget, but it's not in God's nature to forget. He's omniscient. He knows all. So the idea of the Medrash is deep. It's saying that the purpose of the Seir Meshaleach is to reflect that idea. That on the one hand, we request kapara, and the concept of kapara in the human mind is that our sins are forgotten or they're destroyed in the eyes of God. But on the other hand, we don't really understand how it works. We just can't understand how it works, and we acknowledge that. And that's why the Seir Meshaleach occurs in an area that other people aren't witnessing. They're not there to witness it, because we can't fathom it. We can't understand it. We want it to occur, but we also know that we can't understand how it would occur and how it's possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should treat our sins the way that we want him to treat our sins. So that's the first idea. So there's the idea of the Seir Meshaleach is beautiful, according to this Medrash, because it's telling us that it's reflecting an idea that man knows, but he can't really know. But the second point is that the Seir Meshaleach is in order to separate Klal Yisrael from the Yetzer Hara. He says at the end, "V'yesh mefarshim omer sheYisrael azvu Yetzer Hara v'shlichu oso me'aleihem," that they actually release themselves from the Yetzer Hara, and it's being destroyed in the Seir Meshaleach. So what's the second idea? So the second idea in the Medrash is also a deep idea, and it's an idea in identification, that the way that korbanos work in the Mikdash, according to the Ramban especially, is that it works through identification, that man identifies with the animal. And when we bring a korban to Hashem, we can identify with it. It's a human living being. And when it's destroyed, when it's shechted and it's given to Hashem, it's as if we're shechting ourselves. So too, the idea of the Seir Meshaleach is an idea of identification, that Klal Yisrael, the purpose of it is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to identify with the animal, and they're supposed to feel, even if they don't do tshuva, because the Rambam and the Gemara say that the Seir HaMishtaleach provides kapara even on certain sins that you don't do tshuva for. But why does it work that way? How does that work? So it seems like even if you don't do tshuva, if there's a moment of separation from sin, of man's separation from sin, through the identification with the Siyar Mishtaleach, so even that is a zechus, even that is a merit, that's a level of perfection. So the other idea in the Siyar Mishtaleach is that for a moment, and through identification, Klal Yisrael are able to view their sins properly, to remove their sins from them, and that's why it's taken away from them to a desolate area, to a high area. It's an idea where Klal Yisrael can feel a true separation at one moment. Maybe it's momentary, and maybe it's not a real tshuva, but even for a moment on Yom Kippur, there's a time where Klal Yisrael is supposed to feel psychologically, emotionally separated from their sins, and feel like they can actually remove themselves from their Yetzer Hara. And that occurs through the Se'ira Mishtaleach. So that's the concept. So again, just to summarize, so the question that we asked was, what's the idea of Azazel being a hard, high mountain and cliff? And the philosophy of this Se'ira Mishtaleach, and there's two points that the Medrash is mentioning. I don't think it's a machlokas. There are two ideas that are emphasized in the Se'ira Mishtaleach, that come out in the Se'ira Mishtaleach. One is the concept that we request kapara, and we have a certain idea of kapara, but we know that that's not how it works. And the second idea is that we use the Se'ir as a method, or through the method of identification, to separate ourselves from sin. Even if we don't do tshuva, there's value in separating ourselves from sin on a temporary manner, in a temporary way. So that's the idea of the Se'ir Mishtaleach. So the Se'ir provides us with a method of identification. Okay, so that's the idea. But now the question is, what about... Now there's a little bit of psychological insight. What about the Gemara? It says, the Gemara says that the Azazel is mechaper on the Arayos. And how does it reflect that? Because there is this Maisa Uzov Azal. And to recall what the Gemara says in Rashi, it says that there are these evil malachim, there are these destructive malachim, and they came down to the world in the time of Na'amah and Tuval Kain, which was right before Noach. And the psukim say that they slept with Benosa Adam. So if you look in source number 7, it says, "Vayhi ki echel ha'adam larov al pnei adamo uvenos yuledu lahem." So when man was starting to propagate the earth, so they had many daughters. That's what the psukim say. "Vayiru bnei Elohim es benosa adam ki tovos heina vayichu lahem nashim mikol asher bachar." So it says that the bnei Elohim, which the pshat is the nobles, they saw the Benosa Adam, they saw that these human, these girls, and they saw that they were good. They chose from them women as wives from anyone that they wanted. So the Rashi over there explains that what was going on. So he says, B'nei Elohim, B'nei Asarim HaShoftim. It doesn't mean the angels, the pshat is, but it means that the leader's children, the children of the president at the time, or the prime minister at the time, so they were kind of just raping these girls. And the Rashi goes on, I didn't bring in the second Rashi, but what they were doing was they were sleeping with girls who were about to get married, a la Braveheart. I don't know if anybody's seen Braveheart, but really what Rashi's saying is that they were taking these women who were meant to be married and they were sleeping with them right before their wedding. Or they were also, it says that they were involved in all different types of homosexuality, bestiality, all different types of deviant behaviors. And that's what the chait was at that time, one of the chataim. So the pshat is vayiru bnei ha'elokim, sorry, bnei Elohim, that it's referring to humans, that it's referring to the leader's sons. So if you had an important person's son, so they were involved in this. They were involved in this pursuit. They were taking these women and they were raping them. They were taking them and they were taking them before they got married. They were also involved in all these different types of behaviors. But the Medrash says that B'nai Ha'alokim can be read as actual Malachim. B'nai Ha'alokim is a reference to Malachim, and that there were these Malachim that came down and they took human wives for themselves, and they were involved in this as well. So of course the question is, and somehow the Seir Al-Azazel is tied to that experience. So what is that tie-in, what is that relationship between the Seir Mishtaleach and the concept of the B'nai Ha'alokim sleeping with the Benos Adam? So how do we understand that? So here I think there's a lot of insight, a lot of psychological chiddush here, and it's tied to the idea of the drives of man, the main drive, the lustful drive of man. So we know that on Yom Kippur, we read from the next part of Acharei Mos, which talks about all the forbidden relationships that a person is supposed to not allowed to have. You know, you're not allowed to sleep with various people. So that's Arayos is really a highlight of Yom Kippur. So what's the relationship of the Arayos over here, of this experience to, you know, Yom Kippur? So I think there's the idea over here is tied to the nature of lust. So I think the nature of lust pre this experience, pre Noach, was that lust was just a drive for pleasure. It was just simply a drive for the pleasure of satisfying that lustful desire. But once this occurred, or this experience occurred, it was a demonstration that lust can be mingled with many other emotions. So we see that lust can be an experience of ego, that when a person's in power, they feel like they have a right to sleep with whoever they want to. They can steal somebody else's wife. So the idea of stealing somebody else's wife and sleeping with them or raping somebody is really not just lust in the framework of pleasure, but it's lust in the framework of aggression. It's in the framework of ego. So the concept of lust was that after the Chet of Adam, but before Noach, the idea was that lust became commingled or had the ability to be intermingled with other forces, with other emotions, other psychological aspects of man. And that made the lustful drive, the drive for Arias, into a very strong, powerful drive. It became one of the most powerful forces of humanity, of mankind. And the concept of the Malachim, I think, is that there's even a religious component that can be expressed through lust. And you see that from like the Egel Azov, for example. So the Egel Azov, it says that they were having a good time. And the Midrashim say that they were involved in Arayos, that they used it, they used the Egel Azov and the experience of the Egel Azov when they were dancing around the Egel. It wasn't just dancing, but they were involved in Shvichas Damim because they killed Chur, but also they were involved in Arayos. So you see that there's, within the lust, within that taiva, that drive, there seems to be an ability to commingle a religious experience. And that's something that emerged later on. It wasn't something that was necessarily built into humanity, but it's something that emerged. And that's the idea of the Malachi Chabala. The idea of Malachi Chabala is the concept that there's a religious aspect of the commingling of the lust with religiosity that occurred at that time, and it persisted in humanity. It's part of the psyche of humanity. And that's what gave the Arayos, the drive and the lustful drive, which is the source of so many Chataim, that gave it such a powerful element because of its ability to be commingled with either the ego, the aggression, or to be commingled with the drive, the religious experience. So that gives the sexual drive, it gives the lustful drive a much stronger ability to corrupt man. So the idea is that the Seir Lazozo is a kapara for that. It means that it's a kapara for the main source of Chet of Adam. It's supposed to acknowledge or bring to mind what the source of the Chet of Adam is and the source of Arias is and how, and the reason and the idea as to why lust has such power in man. It has such power because of the fact that it has the ability to be mingled with other emotions, with aggression, ego, with religiosity. All those experiences can be commingled with lust. And that's like a deep idea. That's the idea that Yom Kippur is trying to express, that we need to analyze and see that insight into ourselves in order to minimize the drive, in order to control ourselves and become and perfect ourselves and move to a higher level. Okay, so finally, there's one last point in the shir. It's this really interesting Ramban. And the Ramban has insight here that is very, quote-unquote, irrational. It would seem irrational, but I think there's an idea behind the Ramban. There's a concept there. So if you look in the Ramban in source number 9, he quotes Rashi, and you can skip down about 5 lines. It says, Rabbi Avram Kosov. So he quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says, Amar of Shmuel, Afal pi shekasov b'se'ir achata shehu l'ashem. So even though by the se'ir, the goat that was sacrificed to Hashem, the word l'ashem for Hashem was written on it, gama se'ir, it said Hashem on the lot, gama se'ir ha-mishtaleach hu l'ashem. So too, even the se'ir ha-mishtaleach is for Hashem. Ve'ein sorech, you don't need this, ki ha-mishtaleach einenu korban. So he says the seir that was sent out into the midbar, the seir lazazel, was not a korban. Shelo yishachet, it was never slaughtered. You never slaughtered it with a knife. You threw it off the cliff. Ve'im yicholis lahavin hasod shu achar milas azazel. So if you understand the secret behind the word azazel, teda sodo v'sod shemo, you'll understand the secret behind the azazel, and you'll also understand the secret to its name. It sounds very magical. Ki yesh lo chaverim b'mikra. There are many other instances in the psukim that reference this. Vani agalalcha ktsas hasod beremez. I will reveal this to you in a hint. Biyoscha ben shloshim b'shalosh. When you're 33, tedaenu, you'll know. So when you're 33, you'll know this. So I'm 34, so maybe we'll try to understand this idea. So what's this reference to the age of 33? So then the Ramban goes on. V'nei Rabbi Avram Neman Ruach Mechase Davar. So he says, the Ibn Ezra had a faithful spirit to keep this a secret. V'ani Arachil Megale Sodo. But I am a tattletale, and I'm going to reveal this secret. Shekfar Golu Oso Rabbasinu Zal B'mekomos Rabim. So the Chazal, they reveal this in many places. Okay, so he first quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says that the Ibn Ezra has this secret about the Seir L'Azazel, what the meaning of its name is, and what its purpose is. And the Ibn Ezra is reluctant to reveal the secret, but the Ramban says, I'm going to reveal the secret. And he says that the Ibn Ezra says, when you're 33, you'll understand it. So what's the 33? So the footnotes over there say that if you go to 33 Psukim later, there's a Pasuk that references what the Ramban's going to speak about. And the Pasuk is about how the Jewish people used to worship the Seirim. They used to worship the Shadim. They would worship these forces. And he's going to explain how that's tied to the Seir L'Azazel. So let's go on the Ramban. So the Ramban says like this. Amru B'Vreshis Rabbah. We're about like 10 lines down. Amru B'Vreshis Rabbah in source number 9. V'Nosa HaSeir Alof. So the Seir would carry the sins of Klal Yisrael. Ze Esav. So this is Esav. Shenamar Hein Esav Achi Ish Sa'ir. Because Esav was known as the Ish Sa'ir. He was very hairy. Es Kol Avonosam. And what does it mean, Es Kol Avonosam, all their sins? Avonos Tam. The Avonos of Tam. Shenamar V'Yakov Ish Tam. So he says the first idea that the Ramban says is that the Sa'ir is a reference to Esav, and it was carrying the Avonos of Yaakov, of Klal Yisrael, of Tam. So what's this relevance of Esav and Yaakov to the philosophy of the Seir Mishtaleach? So he goes on, he says, Mufurash Mizeb Pirkei Rav Eliezer Agadol. So there's a medrash, Lefichach hayu nosnim lo l'samayel shochad b'yom ha-kippurim sholo vata os korbanam. So therefore, they would give a bribe to the Satan. Samayel was a name for the Satan. So this Satan, they would bribe him on Yom Kippur in order that he not be mevatel the korban l'Hashem. Shnemar goral echad l'Hashem v'goral echad l'Azazel. So one was for Hashem and the other one was for Azazel. Goralo shal kadosh baruch hu le korban ola. So the one for Hashem was for a korban ola, was burnt up completely. It was really a chatas. V'goralo shal Azazel seir hachatas. The goral for Azazel, who was Samal, the Satan, was seir hachatas. Was this seir? V'chol avonosim she Yisrael love. And all the avonos of Yisrael were on this seir. And they were given to this Samal, to the Satan. Shenamar v'nasah ha-se'ir alav. Ra'a Samal shalo nimtza b'ham chet b'yom ha-kippurim. So this bribe created a situation where Samael didn't see any chatayim on Yom Kippur. So he fights for Klal Yisrael. Amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribon kol olamim yesh lecha am echad ba'aretz kemalachei asharash shebashamayim. So the Satan, Samael, is actually trying to argue in favor of Klal Yisrael. And he says, is there a nation like Klal Yisrael who are like Malachim? Ma Malachi Asharas Yechefe Regel, Kacha Yisrael Yechefe Regel, B'Yom HaKippurim. Just like the Malachim don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Uma Malachi Asharas In Bahem Achilu Shesiyah, Kach Yisrael In Bahem Achilu Shesiyah, B'Yom HaKippurim. Just like the angels don't eat and drink, so too, Klal Yisrael like the angels on Yom Kippur, Ma Malachi Asharas In Lahem Kefitza, Kach Yisrael Omdim Aragleim, B'Yom HaKippurim. Just like the Malachim don't have any joints, so too Klal Yisrael, they don't sit at all on Yom Kippur. In the Mikdash, they would stand all the whole time. Ma Malachi Asharei Shalom Mitavach B'neim, Kacha Yisrael Shalom Mitavach B'neim, B'Yom HaKippurim. Just like there's peace amongst the angels, so too there is peace amongst Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi Asharei Nekiyim Mikol Chet, Kach Hein Yisrael Nekiyim Mikol Chet B'Yom HaKippurim. And just like the angels don't have any sin, so too Klal Yisrael don't have any sin in Yom Kippur. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Edusan Shei Shomen HaKateger. And then Hashem listens to the Satan. Shalahem U'mechaper Al Mizbeach V'Al Mikdash V'Al Kohanam V'Al Kol Amakal Shneamar V'Chiperes Mikdash HaKodesh Ad Kan Agadazu V'Hineh Hodienu Shemo U'Maaseyu. So the Ramban quotes this Medrash. And the Medrash is that what is the purpose of the Seir HaMishtaleach La'Azazel? We're bribing the Satan. We're bribing Samael. And the way we do it is that we're sending him the Korban with all our sins. And as a result, he's blinded from our sins through this bribe. And he ends up actually fighting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So this is very troublesome on many levels. And the one level that the Ramban takes up is, how can we do this? How can we send a korban to the Seyden? It's very Avodah Zarah-like. So he explains that it's not Avodah Zarah. The Ramban says that, let's keep going on in the Ramban. And also, what's the purpose of this korban? How can we actually serve something to Seyden on Yom Kippur? What's the idea behind it? So he says, V'zeh soda inyan. So how do you explain this? Ki ha'ovdim le'elohim achirim. The Jewish people served other gods. Heim ha'malachim. Osim, they were malachim. Osim lahem korbanos. V'heim lahem l'rech nichoch. K'inyan shnemar. V'samni v'katarti nasat lefnehem. V'lachmi asher nasati l'cha sulo v'shem u'dvash ha'chalticha. V'nisatiyah lefnehem l'rech nichoch. V'ayhine u'ma shem alokim. V'atat tzarech lezbonin b'kosu v'mikar v'mesores. So the Jewish people used to serve the angels, and they would give them korbanos. And he says, "V'inei Torah asra legamri kabbalas elahusam v'chol avoda lehem." But the Torah asers this type of service. The Jewish people are not allowed to serve angels. They're not allowed to serve Samael. They can only serve Hashem. Aval tziva kadosh baruch hu b'yom haKippurim shenishlach seir b'midbar l'sar hamoshe b'mekomos achurban. But on Yom Kippur, Hashem commands us to send out a goat to the Tsar, to the officer that is in charge of the destruction. And the reason why this korban is a fit for him is because he is the master of destruction and desolation. He is the source. This angel is the source. This Satan is the source of all these bad things that occur in the world. Wars and famine and plagues. And he ties it into the Nefesh Legagel Madim, which is Mars. And the portion of this satanic force is Esav. It sounds like Star Wars, right? So Esav was the one who inherited the Cherev, the sword, and Melchamos. And the Seirim and the Izim are also these elements. And Shadim are included in this. So the Ramban says that on Yom Kippur, Hashem commands us to bring a Seir to these satanic forces. And in doing so, we bribe these satanic forces, and they provide, or they end up fighting for Klal Yisrael, and that ends up bringing about Kapara. So of course the question is, what is this? This is a strange idea the Ramban's bringing out. How do we understand that Klal Yisrael are commanded by Hashem to serve this other, these evil forces? So what's the value of that? How do we understand it? How do we believe in that? Right? So then he goes on. I'm not going to read through the whole Ramban. It's a long Ramban. But he goes on and he says that, first he says that it's not really Avodah Zarah because Hashem commands us to do it. And ultimately it's all for Hashem. It's not really for the satanic forces. And at the end, he explains that this isn't something that you can understand through the study of science. It's only something that you can understand with Mesorah and with Svara. So what's the idea that Ramban's saying? The basic concept, again, to summarize, is that the purpose of the Seir Mishaleach is that we serve these evil forces, which includes Esav, and includes the Sar HaMoshel, the ideas of famine and Milchama. And on Yom Kippur, we send out a Seir to this area, to this hard area, in order to serve this force, and that way it provides kapara for Klal Yisrael. So how do we explain this? So I think there's a deep idea in the Ramban, one last point in the Shir, and then I'll summarize. So I think the idea in the Ramban is that this isn't for, to explain it logically or rationally, you can't say that Hashem needs satanic forces or whatever he means by the Satan. Let's say there's a Malach that is a Satan. It can't be that Hashem needs this Satan to argue in favor of Klal Yisrael, because that would be Kfira, God knows all. We say that God is omniscient. Even the Ramban believed or maintained that Hashem knows what Klal Yisrael deserves. So what are we doing here? Why do we need the Satan to provide an argument on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So I think the idea is that when Klal Yisrael are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, so there's an awareness of all the possibilities of their destruction. And in fact, it's important that when Klal Yisrael serve Hashem and they do tshuva, they have to realize that we don't really have a right to exist, and the idea that the potential for our destruction exists, and it exists in many different ways. It could occur through Esav, it could occur through many different, our psyches, it could occur through the idea of Shadim, whatever that is, Malachim. All these are different ideas or ways in which Klal Yisrael can be damaged and destroyed. And that awareness is definitely relevant on Yom Kippur. But on the other hand,
it could be dangerous for Klal Yisrael, because you can be aware of it, but if it affects your ability to serve Hashem, if the knowledge that you could be destroyed, or the knowledge that there are these evil forces, that there's Esav, that there's the potential for Klal Yisrael to be destroyed, if that knowledge affects our service of Hashem, because we're scared or we have these fears, so then it's negative, and then it affects our ability to worship properly. So the idea is that in the process of the Se'irim, the Se'ir LaHashem and the Se'ir LaZazel, we're supposed to allay our fears and allay our anxieties about those evil forces, about that destruction. In order to serve Hashem properly, in order to bring about Kapara, we have to bring the Korban L'Chatas, we have to bring that properly. And that's why the Medrash says that the Satan is, we don't want the Satan to be Mevatel, the Korban L'Hashem. What does that mean? It means that the knowledge of the Satan, the knowledge of all the evil and our ability to be destroyed, could be destructive in our service of Hashem. It could be destructive in our bringing Korban LaHashem for Kapara. So the process of the Seir Mishtaleach, the philosophy of the Ramban, is that we allay the fears of Klal Yisrael. We allow them to send this Seir into the desert in order for Klal Yisrael to maintain or to believe in their minds that they can't be destroyed, at least psychologically, at least emotionally. So in doing so, it allows them to actually fulfill the Korban LaHashem in the most purest form, in the perfect way. So really the Ramban is just, I think he's alluding to a philosophical point. The philosophical point is that the purpose of the Seir Mishtaleach is not actually to serve these. In fact, he says many times that it's to serve Hashem. But how does it serve Hashem? Because it allows Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem, to bring Korban LaHashem, the Chatas, the Seir LaHashem, in the proper way. And the only way they could bring that properly is if they had the Seir LaZazel. The Seir LaZazel is almost like a funnel. It almost provides Klal Yisrael with an opportunity to allay some of the anxieties, to relieve some of the anxieties and the fears, and bring a Korban in the most proper way, in the most purest way. So I think that's the idea in the Ramban. So let me just summarize the shir on Achrimos. So tonight's shir was on the meaning of Azazel. And the reason why we were speaking about that is because the beginning of the parsha talks about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and it talks about the two Seirim, the Seir that was for Hashem and the Seir of the Mishtaleach. So we said, what's the Azazel? What's the meaning of Azazel? So we saw in Rashi that it means a very high land, a very high mountain that they would throw the Seir off of. So why did it have to be high? So the Medrash says that the Seir had to break up into pieces, chatichos, chatichos. So we said there's two points there. One is that the Seir was an idea in our recognition that we want Kapara to occur, but we can't understand how it can occur, how it's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forget our sins because he's omniscient. And on the other hand, we also try to separate ourselves from sin through identifying with this Seir. And even if we don't do tshuva, there's value in the idea of us separating ourselves from sin, and the Seir provides provides us with a method of identifying with this Seir and removing ourselves from sin. The second point was the idea of lust, how lust was really magnified through the story of Uzzah and Azazel, like the Gemara says, which is the concept that lust is a drive that becomes powerful and forceful when it's mingled with other drives. And that's the significance of the Arayas, that we mention Arayas a lot on Yom Kippur, because it's one of the most powerful drives that humans have. But what makes it powerful is really its source. And it was sourced in the time of Noah, that at that time, man commingled or intermingled many different emotions and drives. Even the spiritual, the religious drive can be outletted through lust. So that idea is prominent even in society Bizman Azeh, and that's why we have to reflect on that and try to understand. That's why lust is such a powerful drive and such a force of corruption. And then finally, the last point was the Ramban. The strange Ramban, it talks about how we're serving, it sounds like we're serving this other satanic force, and it sounds very science fiction-like. So what's the Ramban talking about? So we said one idea. The Seir Mishtaleach is there in order to relieve our fears of destruction. And on the one hand, we have to be aware of it. But on the other hand, we shouldn't allow it to affect our ability to serve God and to request Kapara, or to believe that Kapara is possible. So we have to provide, or we have to send away the Seir Mishtaleach in order that Klal Yisrael can actually serve Hashem in the proper way, in the purest form. Okay, so that's really the Shir tonight on the Parsha. Anybody have any questions? Or want to add anything to this year, please do so. If not, everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in. Thanks. Have a good Shabbos.